Did you really read all those books, or is it just to make an impression?
My sisters love those books. I really think you might like them. And I'm willing to be directed as well.
والكافي تهذيب استبصار من لا يحضره الفقير.
How much are you familiar with the books in the bookshelves of the Muslim libraries in the world?
You're listening to the program Bookshelf on RIB English Radio with Brother Hussein, a book lover and a student of Tarbiyat Mudarris University of Tehran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. To all our brothers and sisters, the adamant seekers of intelligence. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You've tuned into IRIB English Radio broadcasting from Iran. The show is Bookshelf and I'm Hussein. I'm here if you're looking for a good book to read this week. You know how people talk about how excited they are about reading a book? Well, maybe we should say experiencing a book instead, because that's what books are. They're basically experiences. When we read a book, we experience a parallel life. We experience a new level of intelligence. And that's what makes reading books such a phenomenon. The moment you flip the last page of your book, you would have come a different person compared to the moment that you first opened that book. And hopefully, if it's a good book, you would have become a better person. And let's face it, books don't have the detrimental effects of digital devices either. They are deep, they're not shallow. The author will always try to convince you, give you the various arguments and logics to convince you about whatever they are discussing. And you get to read books at your own pace. It's not like listening to a lecture or a television show. Sometimes I might stop, I might read an entire page, and sometimes I might just read one chapter or just a paragraph and then feel the need to stop just to digest and contemplate what I've just realized that I never knew before. And that is an experience that is worth every single penny that you pay for a book and every single second that you spent reading that book. If you stay tuned after the break, I'm going to suggest a book for you to feed your intelligence with this week. Don't go away.
Why do we read books in the first place? What are books good for?
We read books because we don't want to reinvent the wheel, if you will.
We'd better take advantage of human cultural and intellectual heritage, particularly related to our daily activities, such as our physical, mental, spiritual, or even religious health.
We can't ignore the past thoughts and experiences. To do so, we need to boost our bookshelf.
You are tuned to IRIB English Radio broadcasting from Iran, and this is Bookshelf. So this is an Islamic radio, and we're all Muslims, and Islam is a social religion. It encourages us to interact with each other. We have to be careful for each other, watch over each other. We have to consider each other's needs, right? And we even have to pray and worship together. We're encouraged to do that. It's mustahab, and even sometimes it's obligatory. Can you imagine that scene of Muslims gathering around to read Dua Khomeini on a Thursday night? I used to experience this every week when I was a kid, and it was a glamorous scene. Or maybe when you go to the Haram, to the Holy Shrine, maybe you're not in Iran and you can just see it via television, the glorious scene of Muslims coming from all over the country and all over the world to pray in congregation. That's our religion, a social religion. And so we have a responsibility towards our society as well. The book that we want to suggest for this week's reading is called A Muslim in Society, published by Al-Balagh Foundation. Al-Balagh Foundation has dedicated itself to the propagation of Islamic teachings across the world, and they have kindly provided this book today for free to al-islam.org, and of course you can download it as well. So this book, A Muslim in Society, the book that we're introducing today, is a concise introductory text about the appropriate behavior of Muslims and their conduct with others in society. If you look at the book, it's only 15 pages, but don't mistake 15 pages as something that isn't worth reading. It's a summary, and that means it's a compressed version of a lot of things we need to know about our social duties as Muslims. The content take a look at the content. It demonstrates what important topics are covered in this book. It talks about responsibility, how to act upon the Holy Quran, calling to Islam, opposing the oppressors and the unjust, giving advice, good and bad deeds, forbidding what is wrong, jihad or the holy struggle is an obligatory duty, reciprocal responsibility among Muslims, spending wealth, and responsibility towards society. Okay, so it's time to take a break before we read an excerpt from this book. But meanwhile, you might be able to quickly download the book A Muslim in Society by Al-Balagh Foundation from al-islam.org. And when we're back, I'm going to read the chapter on reciprocal responsibility among Muslims, and you can join me in that reading. Stay tuned, we'll be back shortly.
I am a Muslim, Islam my deen, Allah my Lord, His word Quran, Muhammad Prophet, praise be upon Him. I'm a Muslim for all of time. I am a Muslim, Islam my deen, Allah my Lord, His word Quran, Muhammad Prophet, praise be upon
This is IRIB English Radio broadcasting from Iran. The program is Bookshelf. Let's read the chapter on reciprocal responsibility among Muslims from the book A Muslim in Society by Al-Balagh Foundation. It is narrated that Imam Muhammad al-Baqir, quoting the Messenger of Allah as saying, "He who passes his night satiated while his neighbor is in a state of hunger has no faith in me." Allah the Most High created this earth and provided food, water, air, sun, moon, and the stars to fulfill all the needs of man in this life. He made provision for all mankind. Each man has the right to take his needs from these provisions. Allah ordered Muslims to work and earn a living to gain their provisions. A man has the right to work in all fields, including agriculture, industry, trade, medicine, or teaching, to obtain his provisions and gain lawful property. No one has the right to prevent him from doing so. Thus, everyone obtains wealth to satisfy his needs from employment and spends it on himself and his family, saving anything extra. However, human society contains poor and needy people with no property, food, housing, or clothes. Therefore, it is obligatory for the rich to provide such people with what they need so that no one remains in poverty. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam advises Muslims that whoever passes his night satiated and restful in his home with his family, while he has poor neighbors who pass their night hungry, has no true belief in the Messenger of Allah and is denying him too. Had such a man been a true believer, he would have given food to his neighbors and not let them pass the night in hunger. Surely, Allah is displeased with those who accumulate wealth, food, and property, while others suffer from poverty, hunger, and deprivation. Islam is the religion of justice, equality, charity, and mercy. Giving to the poor is one of the important actions of the faith. Giving to the poor and needy is mentioned many times in the Holy Quran. Muslims should help the poor and needy before they are forced to ask for it. Muslims should establish charitable and cooperative associations in schools, mosques, districts, and villages to help the needy.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
All right, unfortunately, that's all the time we have. I hope I've managed to demonstrate how rich this book is, although it's small, but being a small book gives the advantage of making it a short read. You can make a log of how much your social behavior is in accordance with Islam based on this book. Until next week, from me and the whole team here on IRIB English Radio Bookshelf, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you.